Well, this is the end of the month, the last Wednesday of February. I think leap year coming up, you know. This month, we've been talking about Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Are y'all familiar with that city that we call the city of brotherly love? That's Philadelphia, right? That's the original Hebrew, or excuse me, Greek word for that brotherly love there. Making sure you have kindness or brotherly love for one another. More specifically, love of the brethren. But in that verse, not only it says let brotherly love, it says continue. When you look at that word continue in the Hebrew, it means meno, which is a verb which basically means to stay, to abide, to continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand. My point, this is not let brotherly love continue when you feel like it, when it's convenient for you, whenever you think it's going to benefit you. This means let brotherly love continue always. Let that continue to happen. My topic more specifically was let brotherly love continue inside me. And so I want to look at the attitude I believe you need to have, or the view of yourself, so you can know how to treat others around you. So I started with Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It says, "For I say that through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." Now, if you look in that passage there, we see that word to think mentioned three different times. That first time, it means huperphroneo in the Greek. When you think about huper, I think about something that's above and beyond. When you look at that word right there, it means to esteem oneself over much, too much, to the point where they become vain or conceited, arrogant. So we're not supposed to think too highly of ourselves. Now, if you think about somebody who thinks they're conceited, thinks they know everything, how much time do you really want to spend around them? Is that going to give you an opportunity to actually show some brotherly love there? Now, if you might think, hey, I don't know anybody that's conceited, you might want to look in the mirror and think a little bit about that. The third time we see that word on there, but to think, that comes from just for narrow. And it means if we think about this, everybody has an opinion of themselves, whether good, bad, moderate, the way it should be. And right here it says to have an opinion of oneself, to think of oneself to be modest, not let one's opinion, though just, of himself exceed the bounds of modesty. And so you don't want to think too highly of yourself. And that next thing it says to think soberly. If you look at the word soberly, it comes from the Greek word sophroneo, which means to be of a sound mind, to be healthy, to be sane. So if you really think about this, if you're not in your right mind, it's probably because you're thinking too highly of yourself. And when we see this, this might sound like I'm bragging, I never have an issue with thinking too highly of myself. But if you really think about this question, can it really go the extreme opposite end? And that's where all through my life I have been affected, thinking too little or too lowly of yourself. And that can hinder us from actually being able to show brotherly love to others around us. And when you think about this, I heard Mike say this, and you probably know about this also. The thoughts that you tend to have of yourself, you also tend to project that on others. Now, if you're a little bit conceited and arrogant, it might be a different story. You might forget about those around you, do the things that you want to have done, forget about their needs, things of that nature. But what I struggled with when I went through issues in life, hopefully I won't cry, sorry. I felt like, who cares about me? Who really wants to look at me and try to help me out? I'm just this little poor little man. And so when I thought like that, when I saw somebody else, why did I want to go out the way to talk to them when I feel like I was a nobody? They don't want to listen to me. They don't want to talk to me. So in my opinion, that's not a good start to have. You have to have that moderate, that modest view of yourself. Humble enough, not too high, but not too low. And I want to read a story before I go on a little bit. This is a story about Booker T. Washington. And it says, "A truly humble man is hard to find, yet God delights to honor such selfless people." Booker T. Washington was a renowned black educator. He was an outstanding example of this truth. Shortly after he took over the presidency of the Tuskegee, if I can say that right, Institute in Alabama, he was walking in an exclusive section of town when he had stopped by a wealthy white woman. Not knowing the famous Mr. Washington by sight, she asked if he would like to earn a few dollars by chopping wood for her. Because he had no pressing business at the moment, Professor Washington smiled, rolled up his sleeves, and proceeded to do the humble chore she had requested. When he was finished, he carried the logs into the house and stacked them by the fireplace. A little girl recognized him and later revealed his identity to the lady. The next morning, the embarrassed woman went to see Mr. Washington in his office at the Institute and apologized. "It's perfectly all right, madam," he replied. "Occasionally, I enjoy a little manual labor, but besides, it's always a delight to do something for a friend." She shook his hand warmly and assured him that his meek and gracious attitude had endeared him and worked to her heart. Not long afterwards, she showed her admiration by persuading some wealthy acquaintances of hers to join her in donating thousands of dollars to this institute. Now, I'm not saying this story because Booker got something out of it, because that wasn't his goal. His goal was he had saw someone that was in need. Can you imagine? He just said, "Hey, lady, you know who I am? I'm a president. I just moved here. I'm not going to cut any wood for you." He didn't have that attitude. He had the time. He saw someone in need. He called her a friend. He helped her out. And not only that, this led to a good example for that woman there. She went and she shared it with her friends. And not only she shared it with her friends came back, donated money to the school, but that wasn't the point. When you think about us today in life, the way we treat people, when they ask us questions for help or anything like that, the way we respond, do you ever think, do they actually go and tell others about it also? Or maybe they want to say, "Hey, I know they helped them out." And so maybe they want to learn a little bit more. Maybe not what we can get out of it, but hey, those are those doors of opportunity where we can actually talk about those three books, right? And actually talk about the gospel. But there's also another example we have. If you look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, so talking about that individual who might be a little bit conceited, a little bit arrogant. Here it says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." That's one thing that we all need to make sure we also do. In verse 4, it says, "Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." You ever felt like you didn't have enough time? So let me take care of this and I'll worry about them later. Don't do that. And even though I use this example that Booker has, if you have a better example, if you look at that next verse, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in" who? "In Christ Jesus." And one thing I skip and I go back to this, when I talk about people, usually the way they feel about themselves, they project it on other people. Think about what Jesus told us in Mark chapter 12, verse 31. He says you should love your neighbor as who? As yourself. So I have to be able to love myself the right way so I can reach out and help others. In chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 12, he says, "Whatever you want men to do to you, you also do to them." And so for starters, I believe we have to have the right attitude or view about ourselves before we can look out and help others and share love. And James 1:9 says, "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich man in his humiliation." So the next part I want to talk about, I won't spend that much time on that because you can take this yourself. But if you're going to be brotherly, first you have to be brotherly. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, "A man who has friends, he must himself also be a friend." So you kind of think about this for yourself and your own. What do you want to have in a friend? What type of qualities? Someone who will listen to you? Someone who will stick with you through thick and thin? Someone who is honest with you whenever you're doing something that's wrong, even though that's difficult to correct you? What do you really want there? But remember, you have to be a friend first. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, it says a friend loves, not sometimes, not when he feels like it, not when she feels like it, but at all times. But if we feel right about ourselves, we should be able to be willing to help those who are in need, not only our immediate families, such as my children, my wife, my spouse, the friends of the church, the brethren. And you think about right here, we're doing this all the time. We're writing these cards. We're not writing these cards just to, let's just say, to reach out to those people and get it. But when you think about the love that we're showing here, am I showing love for someone who says, "Hey, I got somebody that we need to pray for. We need to add them. I don't know the person. They put it up there." Not only are we showing love to those people we don't know, but we're also demonstrating love right here to our church home, our congregation, when we're actually doing that. And a couple of things when we talk about love, and I won't read this, but you think about love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it tells you that love never fails. A couple of qualities that love has is this. Love suffers long. It's patient. It's easy to put up with your own child, but what about someone else's? Sometimes it's not easy to put up with your spouse because you live with them every single day. But hey, you need to. I don't mean that in a bad way. It also tells us that love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. And it thinks no evil. And it does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. But love never fails. And so going back to our first verse, let brotherly love continue. Think about that. What have you done in your life to show brotherly love towards the people around you? Maybe you need to start with yourself. Maybe you have had too high of a view of yourself. Kind of forgot about everybody else around you. It's just me, me, me. And sometimes I do get in that situation. Or maybe you struggle like I had before in the past. Thanks too little. Since no one might care about what happens in my life, I probably don't want to reach out to them. That's not the right attitude. Let's always be willing to help those in need, be able to talk to them, get to know them a little better, see what they need in life and things of that nature. If you know you're struggling in that way, you can come forward as we get ready to stand and sing. But also, if you're here tonight, you're not a child of God. And we're talking about having brotherly love for each other. Don't you want to be part of the brethren? Don't you want to be part of the family? And you can't actually just join the church, but you have to have heard the gospel. Know that about the death, burial, and resurrection and the appearance of Jesus Christ. And believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And not only that he is the Son of God, you have to be willing to confess that great confession. And you won't be added to the church yourself, but the Lord will add you to the church and you'll be saved. You have forgiveness of sins, and hopefully you'll be, well, once you're added, you'll be faithful until the end. And we'll be here also to actually help you. Whatever your needs are at this time, please come forward as we stand and sing.